Hello. Episode number 21 of the Tampa 2 podcast. My name is Terry.
And I'm Leo.
And it's good to be back. And we had a week off, you know, celebrate the Easter season and the tournament, March Madness.
Yep.
Kind of getting underway. And of course,
and now daylight savings time.
And daylight savings time, which is never fun. No one likes to spring forward. And, you know, they just need to get rid of it.
Absolutely.
But anyway, it was a much needed break, you know, doing 20 episodes since the beginning. So, but we kick off, as always, even in episode 21, with the Tampa in 2.
The Tampa in 2.
And we will get started with Magic news. They're terrible. We got, what, 6 more games or something like that left in the season?
Yeah, season's almost over.
So it's just, you know, let's just kind of get out and focus on next season. Since the last podcast, so 2 weeks ago, we were 1 of 6, just proving our awfulness. But we're facing the Bulls tonight as you listen to this on Friday, so probably not expecting a lot. We're probably going to get thrashed.
Yeah.
So. But then with Lightning news, same kind of thing, unfortunately, just not doing really well. But a lot of changes have been made, and we'll talk more about that in the second segment coming up. But since the last podcast, we're 2 of 5. We played Carolina today, and we'll see how that turns out. But we play the Islanders on Saturday, so we just hope for the best.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of changes, and we'll definitely talk about those. In Rays news, they have started off 1-2, losing their first series of the year. Excuse me. First series of the year to the Baltimore Orioles, who are the luckiest team in the history of Major League Baseball, and they continue to be. And we'll kind of talk a little more about that later, but have 2 series coming up with Cleveland and then Texas. The Cleveland one is at home, and then they hit the road to play Texas, and I think they play like 16 of 26 games on the road or something like that.
So, yeah.
A lot of road games coming up, so definitely a big stretch for the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bucks news, they have, since the last podcast, have signed 5 free agents and cut 2 current players. They have signed kicker Nate Kading, who's not going to make the team. Running back Brian Leonard, who is probably going to take LeGarrette Blount's place as backup running back. Defensive tackle Derek Landry, who is going to play a little bit next to Gerald McCoy. Defensive end George Selvey, who went to USF and could make the team as a backup defensive end. And wide receiver Steve Smith, just so that there can be 2 wide receivers named Steve Smith in the NFC South. They cut Dan Orlovsky back at quarterback because they want to get someone better who can put pressure on Josh Freeman and kind of inspire him to do a better job. And running back Danny or DJ Ware has been cut because they're going to try and draft a better backup running back.
All right.
And thebeauterplank.com, obviously, has all that and more, so
check it out.
Head on by, because that's the last Bucks news for today, because we've got lots of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, the baseball season has officially kicked off this past, well, I guess Sunday, but really it was Monday, because that's when all the games kind of took place.
Yeah,
but,
the game on Sunday included the Astros, so that's technically a minor league game. So.
Oh, man, that's cold. Sorry, Astros fans.
Yeah, well, they did come out the second game of the season and put up a very 2012 Rays-like performance and almost get perfect gamed, so...
Yeah. Well, so with the start of the MLB season, we, of course, have to talk about it a little bit. And I'm not, we've said on the show, I'm not a big baseball fan. I mean, I kind of watch a Rays game here or there. I'm actually sporting my Nike Rays jersey that I got for Christmas, so I could officially break that out. Show some local support. But we want to talk a little bit, of course, you know, who are the teams that you're kind of in the race for the World Series, you know, that, you know, with all the trading and movement. And also, we got to talk about the Rays, naturally, being in the Tampa Bay area. But then we'll talk a little bit more just about baseball in general. So if you're not super, you know, involved with baseball, maybe you're just a casual watcher, you know, maybe a little bit of education will be coming your way later on. So we got to get started first. So Leo, give us kind of the big headlines that has been developing through spring training and everything. Anything that comes to mind?
Well, if you're not a huge baseball fan and you haven't really been following things, here's a couple things you should probably know. One, the Yankees are not going to be very good this year. They have a lot of injury problems. They've lost a couple players. A couple players have gotten old. And they just haven't been able to go out and get guys that make them better, like they always seem to do.
Mm-hmm.
They started off, they're really struggling with the Red Sox in the opening series of the year. The Red Sox were very disappointing this year. They're not going to be very good this year either, which means that the AL East is going to be wide open, which left the door open for the Blue Jays, who had really improved this offseason and played pretty well last year. And they started off by coming out and losing a couple games to the Indians. So
that's never good.
Yeah, so AL East is wide open. As of right now, the Orioles kind of have the stranglehold on it by beating the Rays twice, because the Rays and the Orioles were pretty much the split favorites with the Blue Jays. So those three teams were kind of the favorites, which is really weird to think that most people had the Yankees and Red Sox fourth and fifth in the division, but that's probably really not where it was.
Yeah.
And the rest of baseball is kind of as it has been. The Nationals are good. I mean, which I guess if you haven't followed baseball for a while, that's probably weird to you. But
yeah, the last couple of years, they've been pretty strong.
Nationals are good. Braves are good. Cardinals should be good. Brewers should be decent. Dodgers and Giants are both good. Angels are good. And the Tigers are good.
So it's pretty much like last year.
It's pretty much all the same teams. There's no one. The Mariners have picked up a couple decent hitters. So that'll be interesting if they can, you know, they have a really good pitcher and a couple really good hitters. It's going to be interesting to see if that's enough to get them by. And then the only other thing that may interest you if you're just kind of hopping into baseball season and haven't kept up is that there's going to be interleague play all the time because the Astros moved to the American League. So now there's 15 teams in one league and 15 teams in the other. So
nice.
There's only 15, so you can't play 7 series in one league and 8 series in the other.
Right.
There has to be 2 teams. So the Angels and Reds played an opening week series. That's something you never would have heard of before. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
But things have, you know, kind of gotten off to a pretty uneventful start. Nothing crazy's happened except for, like I alluded to, Yu Darvish almost getting a perfect game against the Astros. But other than that, it's very much been, you know, a ho-hum start, particularly for the Rays.
Sure.
But,
well, I mean, we're already, you know, most of the teams have played 3 games already. What is there any team? I know it's only 3 games out of like 160-some, but is there any team that you see kind of, do you want to give us your World Series picks right now? Or do you just want to kind of say, these are like my top 5 teams to make it to the World Series or something? Not to put any pressure on you or anything.
This is going to sound kind of like a cop-out because it's what a lot of different, you know, media places have projected. But I really think that the final four coming down to the World Series are going to be the Nationals and Dodgers in the National League and the Rays and Tigers in the American League.
Oh, wow. So you have the Rays going that far.
Yeah.
Even with the slow start.
Yeah. I don't put a lot of stock in it. I think that, number one, as I said, and we'll talk a little bit about this. I'll talk a little bit about statistics here and just go a little bit into it. I don't want to bore anybody, but the Orioles are insanely lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And even just in this series that they've played against the Rays, there have been some very fortunate things that have gone their way from an umpiring standpoint and from just a baseball standpoint.
Yeah.
And I think that their pitching and their pitching is proven to be good. David Price had a bad game by his standards, and they were still in the game the whole time. Jeremy Hellickson did not have a very good game, and they were still in the game the whole time and wound up winning.
Mm-hmm.
And Roberto Hernandez today didn't have a great game, but once again, they were in the game the whole time.
Right.
So the pitching is going to be able to do enough to keep the team in the game. The fact that the bullpen has blown a couple leads, you know, is just sort of a byproduct of they were really good last year, and so eventually things average out.
Sure.
But I think the pitching's way too good, and the offense is going to be better than it was last year.
Good deal.
There's not as many guys who strike out, basically. So I would just say those four, but I wouldn't be able to pick right now. I mean, most people actually have some combination of, like, Nationals, Giants, and Dodgers versus Rays, Tigers, and Angels, some people have, I guess.
So it's really, like you said, more like last year, except you have the Angel or the Rays coming in because of Boston and New York
and New York struggling a little bit. Yeah, which, you know, all it takes for one of those teams is to make some mid-season trade where they bring in some high-priced player that someone doesn't want to pay anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Yankees got Felix Hernandez in the middle of the season, you know, that completely changes everything, because then they have two really good pitchers, and that's in baseball, that's almost all you need.
So. Right. Well, it'll be nice for at least a little while on ESPN to not hear, you know, that the Red Sox and the Yankees are dominating or something, but they'll probably do the opposite and say, why are they just like they're doing with the Lakers? Why are they so bad? And what, you know, I mean,
They won't be able to help themselves, but, I did want to go into something, and this is, this is something where, you know, the kind of format of our podcast, the sports expert versus the sports enthusiast who's not necessarily, I mean, you know.
I played Little League when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember going to, I grew up in Sarasota, so my dad and I would go to Ed Smith Stadium. And for a while there was the White Sox were there, and then the Reds came for a little bit. I don't even remember who's there now, but... I've been around baseball for the most part, but as far as like statistics and all this kind of stuff or players, I mean, the fact that you have so many trades throughout the season going on, I just can't follow all of it. And then you have just the sheer number of games.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just never been able to comprehend that, which is why I think, you know, your brain being able to hold everything is amazing to me, but there are just... You know, go through some of the statistics. Like, again, we don't want to bore our listeners.
Sure.
So we'll keep it really brief.
Sure.
But I think it's really interesting because that's what you're going to hear a lot of times is that this person has a great ERA or this you know, or whatever the statistics may be.
Yeah. And then there's the issue of is that there's different levels of stats that cause controversy within people who like baseball. So there's that entry level of, you know, okay, cool. He's got such and such ERA. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
And some people don't even know that because it is kind of a weird statistic. Like as a baseball person, it's just kind of, you know what it is, but you know, ERA is basically figuring out an average of if you're a pitcher and you pitched an entire game, what is the average number of runs you would give up over that entire game?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things where like today, Roberto Hernandez goes out and pitches about 6 innings and gives up 4 runs. That's not a very good ERA.
Right.
But that's also kind of what you expect is for a guy to go about 6 innings and give up about 3 or 4 runs. So it's just one of those interesting things where statistics are something that in baseball, it's pretty much the one sport where the statistics most accurately can predict what's going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have the game, the sheer number of games.
Yeah.
You're going to follow trends.
Yeah, absolutely. And the very nature of the sport, because it's not a sport where sheer athleticism is going to get you by, and it's not a sport that you can ever do a lot better than you normally do without changing something. Like if you are LeBron James and you want to get better at shooting 3-pointers, you just shoot a bunch of 3-pointers and eventually you're probably going to get better at it.
Right.
But if you can throw a fastball 95 miles an hour, you're probably never going to get it up to 100 miles an hour. And if you can, you know, hit a ball 300 feet and that's the farthest you can hit it, it's going to be really hard for you to hit it 400 feet because there's just natural skills involved and there's natural skill sets. And particularly by the time a guy gets to the major leagues, you know, and since the sport has a minor league and you can see how guys progress through it, you know who they are.
Right.
Like with a guy like Robert Griffin III in the NFL, you have no idea what that guy's going to be like.
Have is college and then he's immediately in the pros. Not a minor league for that.
And there's no guys who go straight into the Major League Baseball. They've played baseball somewhere else before. So you know what you're getting. And, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, these statistics kind of bearing everything out. And so, you know, like you said, there's ERAs, there's batting averages, there's all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these advanced statistics, which is something that as a Rays fan, you know, you should at least appreciate because it's something that our team, you know, looks very heavily into.
Right.
And there's a, you know, there's a whole culture of people who are really into this, but it's something that when I was, you know, working really heavy with the Why I Hate Sports blog, I did a post last year about how the Orioles were a super lucky team and used some advanced statistics to show why they were so lucky.
Okay. So what are some of those advanced statistics? Because I think if you ask the average person, what are some, because as we've mentioned on the show before, baseball is one of those games where the statistics, there's so many of them, unlike soccer or hockey.
Yeah.
And like you said just a second ago, they matter. And I think if you were to ask any person on the street what statistics – do you know in baseball, you could automatically think of the big three: runs, hits, and errors.
Yeah.
And then you could think of like batting averages and yeah. maybe ERA, strikeouts with K.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what are some of those advanced statistics that you feel like matter and can show trends?
Okay, we'll do this and we'll kind of turn it into a small, just a short, like 15-second quiz for you.
Okay.
This is like the pinnacle of statistics that not statistics nerds get mad at statistics nerds for obsessing over.
Okay.
And that is WAR. W-A-R.
Okay.
The statistic stands for wins above replacement. And it is a very complicated calculation that takes into account a player's offense, a player's base running, and a player's defense. Or in a pitcher's case, a player's pitching and a player's defense.
Right.
And comes up with a number that shows how many wins that player is worth on his own above whatever the replacement level player, the guy you could just sign off the street, would be at his position. So let's say that you, Terry, were the average shortstop.
Okay.
And that if you went and played for a team, the team would be no worse because you were there, and it would be no better because you were there.
Okay.
Because they just signed you off the street and you were the replacement, mm-hmm. and you know, you're not the worst player ever, but you're also not a good player.
Right.
You're just an average right. Joe player.
Okay.
And these are kind of dumbed down because, like I said, I don't want to go into that.
Right. Super. Well, that's fine. This is helping me. Yeah. I'm learning here.
Wins above replacement calculates based on that how much better is a player and how many more wins does that player give his team.
Okay.
And so, like I said, if a guy goes up and you know gets a single in the ninth inning when his team's down by 15, that's not really helping his team win.
Right.
But if a guy saves a home run that would have put the other team up by, you know, 5 runs, that helps. And there's different statistics that actually go into that. There's numbers that calculate defense. There's numbers that calculate offense. There's numbers that calculate base running.
Right.
And those are all statistics that I can't even start to get into because there's multiple numbers for each of those.
Sure. So this WAR statistic, there's an average kind of like across the board, and then each player goes up against that average?
Yeah, basically the replacement is kind of defined, and then once the replacement is defined, everyone is measured off of that.
Okay, so is it like a plus minus?
Sort of, yeah. It's really, you know, if you're basing it, if you're kind of comparing it to something else, hockey's plus minus is kind of as close as you'll get.
Okay.
It's not as direct. It's not how many runs were you on the field for.
Sure, yeah.
But
it's just the idea that you're on the field contributing as a team,
yes.
and are you going to make your team, your yes. whole team better?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So the pop quiz is, over the past, or let me just phrase it this way, since 2009,
mm-hmm.
the top five in wins above replacement are, there's a couple that are pretty obvious, and I'll give you the obvious ones even if you wouldn't have got them. Miguel Cabrera is one of them.
Okay.
Triple Crown winner last year.
Sure, yeah.
Albert Pujols is one of them.
Really?
Who...
Well, I guess when he was with the Cardinals, yeah. maybe, but not since he's gone to the Angels.
Well, even still, like, he hasn't been in the news as much. He's still been very good.
Okay.
He's not been excellent, but right. it's not enough to bring him down. And Ryan Braun is the other one.
Okay.
That's kind of an obvious one. NL MVP, very good player. There are two more players in the top five.
All right.
And I will give you one, and I'll have you guess the other. And the fact that I'm asking you should hint you to the fact that you may know who these people are.
Okay.
One of them is Evan Longoria.
Dang it, that was going to be the one I was going to say. So, okay.
Because a lot of his is because of defense.
Sure. Oh, definitely. I mean, as was proven a couple nights ago.
Yeah, but offense as well. So who is the fifth person who is in the top five and wins above replacement?
Oh, man. Okay.
And these are just hitters. These are not pitchers.
Okay, so they're hitters.
Yes.
I guess that might kind of help. Can I have a hint as whether it's AL or NL?
It's AL.
AL.
It's five of the top six are in the AL, actually, since 2009.
Okay. I want to say Derek Jeter, but I know that's probably not true. I don't think he's as good of a hitter as he once was.
No, I've actually also wrote about that before, about how he's vastly overrated. His defense brings down his WAR a lot.
Really?
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's not bad. His hits are... Make his WAR go way up, but
sure. Is it a national
no.
player? No. Okay. No.
Well, they're in the NL.
Oh, they're in the NL. Okay. See, again, just proving
a,
that
they have a whole league named after them, the National.
Okay. That'll help you remember that.
The guy.
Go ahead. I can't think of it.
The guy plays the has played the same position as Derek Jeter, but he also plays other positions, lots of other positions, which is part of why he's ranked so highly in this.
Oh, I don't know, man. We could be here forever.
It's Ben Zobrist.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And like I said, the fact that he plays good defense at a bunch of different positions.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
And bats well, playing a bunch of different positions. Like, he hits like an outfielder, but he plays second base and shortstop a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And guys at second base and shortstop don't usually hit that well.
Right.
And so he's able to play good defense at a lot of different positions, hits well at a lot of different positions, and runs the bases very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of cheats the system a little bit, because if he just played right field, the replacement level right fielder is a lot different than the replacement level second baseman.
Sure.
So it's kind of cheating the system a little bit, which is why statistics can't always be relied upon, but I just thought that was an interesting thing. He's like, the fact that he's got a higher wins above replacement than Albert Pujols, you know, is kind of crazy. But just another couple things that are interesting that I just wanted to mention, you know, as we kind of talk about stats and wrap that up. One that I love that just has a cool name and that, you know, a lot of non-stat nerds get mad about as well is BABIP.
BABIP.
BABIP. Okay. Yes. It's batting average on balls in play. And this is like defining luck.
Okay.
Because what BABIP does is it says, if you hit a ball in play, in fair ground, what is the likelihood that that's going to turn into a hit? So this is one of those things where if a guy has a particularly high BABIP, it means he's been getting lucky. Or if a pitcher has a particularly low BABIP against him, it means he's been getting lucky.
Okay.
So it basically takes away like home runs. It takes away strikeouts. And so it's just sort of like when you put the ball into play, you know, what is it doing? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for a guy like Jeremy Hellickson, there's a couple statistics with Jeremy Hellickson that people are saying, but you know, that's one thing that you may be able to point to and say, well, maybe players just aren't getting lucky against him. Mm-hmm. Maybe because if you think about it, if you come up to bat and you hit the ball really, really hard right at the shortstop, you hit the ball really hard and nobody can take that away from you, but you hit it to the wrong place.
Right.
Whereas if, you know, the team's playing a shift against you and you just bunt it down the line and there's nobody there, you didn't hit the ball well at all, but you got a hit.
Right.
So
that's an interesting statistic. No, I could definitely see that. Because, yeah, you got to think about the times where they kind of get a little pop fly, but it just lands in shallow outfield or something like that.
Yeah,
or
you don't even hit the ball very well, but you get a hit, which is something that, you know, with the Orioles, you know, that's another thing that you could maybe point to as a reason that they've been lucky. Another thing with them that I'd mentioned before is there's a statistic that measures clutch, which kind of takes like wins above replacement type stuff, but it applies it only to situations that are considered high leverage, like really important situations. And, you know, their number was pretty through the roof last year because they won all those one run games and stuff. So,
I mean, it always baffles me. The one that I always see a lot of is whip.
Yes.
Walks and hits per inning pitch.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's interesting to see. I mean, I'm on Wikipedia right now. They just have a whole list of things. And
WHIP is a very big fantasy baseball statistic.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about that is that just a guy's ERA doesn't necessarily tell you much because, you know, a guy could give up, you know, three home runs in a game and have a 3 ERA. But if those are the only 3 hits he gave up, then maybe he just made 3 mistakes.
Right.
But if a guy gives up 17 hits and his whip is really high, you may think for the future, oh, well, this guy just gives up a ton of hits. Eventually he's going to get burned.
Right.
So, but there's better statistics for that. There's a thing called fielding independent pitching that kind of tries to calculate if you had the same defense for every pitcher, what would it be like? Because, you know, the Rays actually have really good defense, so all of their pitchers would do worse in other places.
And right, okay.
There's just all sorts of stuff.
All right. Well, I think we've got to the point where our listeners might be going, some of our listeners might be going, okay,
yeah,
my brain is fried.
If you do want to learn more about stats and you are interested in this, fangraphs.com is the place to go. They are the baseball nerd central. So fangraphs.com, they give you all the stats, and they also explain all the stats.
Mm-hmm.
They have a glossary, and it'll explain every single stat. And some of them are going to be, you know, it's statistics, like real math statistics.
Right.
So some of it, you know, it's over my head. So,
well, I mean, I've always admired baseball because of how much it is like a chess game. You know, I remember in Little League them saying it's 80% mental and 20% physical. And, you know, seeing the guys at baseball parks, you know, the old guys with the you know, speed guns, yeah. And you know, they're writing down every single statistic. Yeah. I can't imagine what they're doing, but it is very intriguing because it is unlike any other sport, sure. and how much information gets absorbed into it. So, yeah. Well, cool. Let's move on to our next segment. We alluded to this in the Tampa 2. We're going to talk a little bit about the Lightning as the season kind of sort of is about to come to a close, the shortened season. And, you know, we got off to a really great start early on, and fortunately, we, you know, kind of looks like a fluke now in retrospect. We're still third in goals, but that doesn't matter if you can't stop the other teams. So, yeah. Which has kind of been plaguing us. I think we're 26th in the league out of 30 with goals against. So, but let's talk about some of the biggest things, because a lot, you know, since we've been gone on our break the past 2 weeks, there's been a lot going on. I think probably one of the biggest pieces of news is that our head coach, Guy Boucher, has been let go as head coach. And we brought in Steve Cooper, who came in. He comes from the AHL minor league Lightning team, which is, you know, nice. Kind of keeping it in the family a little bit. But some of the kind of the big things you know should know about him, like I mentioned, he comes from the AHL minor league Lightning team. But he's had a winning record pretty much every season he's been a head coach. And he's been head coach for a couple of minor league teams. But he has like a .661 winning percentage, which is, you know, encouraging for sure. And he's won four different championships. He won one in the AHL a couple years ago. So he's a winning guy, which is always, you know, what you want, obviously. But right now, there's 10 current players who played with some of his former team. I think the last team he just came from was the Syracuse Crunch. Mm-hmm. And 10 of those players are playing with him. So, you know, again, keeping the family, you know, familiarity. You know, there's not a lot of, maybe not a lot of chemistry issues that need to be discussed. But he led the Crunch to a 39-18-8 season, which was the best in the AHL this past season. And with the most goals in the league. So, again, finding someone who plays to our strengths, like we mentioned. That's probably the biggest thing right now. I mean, do you have anything to add about him? I just, you know, I didn't know about him until some research. But
no, absolutely. He's his players that have come up from the Crunch to the Lightning, they've been ready when they've got here. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely something that when Steve Yzerman, the Lightning general manager, was looking for a new coach... that's one of the things that's been cited, is he said that, you know, Cooper got his players ready in the minors to come up. And it was kind of embarrassing because the players he had been coaching looked better than the ones that Guy had been coaching. So it's just one of those things where the other name that was being mentioned as a possible replacement was Lindy Ruff, who's I think he used to be a Senators or Sabres coach. Mm-hmm. And it's just a retread of a coach that somebody else has had before and didn't work out.
Right.
And I mean, he had some success before, but it's just the thought that, you know, you want to be the one to set the trend rather than just kind of picking up what other people have done. And so going into the minor leagues and getting a young, promising coach versus just taking, you know, like the mistake of signing Barry Melrose a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah.
You know, like don't just take somebody
you're
because
they pushed
before. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see that we're trying to develop a coach that has had success in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
He's continuing a winning record. So hopefully that trend will translate in the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not this year. I hope that doesn't go against him so much in his resume, but
Well, yeah, you can only judge a guy so much on a year where he comes in the middle to a team that was near the bottom of the league. So
right, but let's talk about some of the big trades and some of the big moves that have been happening. I think the trade deadline ended yesterday.
It was sometime very recently.
Yeah, so you know, we're kind of set for the rest of the season, which again doesn't really matter, but it'll hopefully point to the future a little bit. So, Leo, is there anyone you want to kind of bring up first and foremost?
Well, I mean, the Lightning were pretty quiet. There were a couple minor deals that I mean we could talk about. There have been players who've actually, you know, kind of been released or cut or traded or whatever. But the main thing was that right before the trade deadline, the Lightning actually went out and got a new goalie.
Yeah.
And they did so at the expense of Corey Conacher, who was someone that I had liked when I watched him at the beginning of the season. But kind of as the season wore on, he kind of cooled off a little bit. Definitely still a young, promising player.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I was talking to you kind of before the show, if anybody can have the confidence to trade Conacher, knowing that, you know who he is, it would be Cooper, because Cooper was the one who was coaching him.
Yeah.
In the minors.
So he knows him. It's not just, oh, I don't like him, or, you know, especially because if it was him, if he didn't know him, and it's just, you know, he's only a couple weeks into his job and he just got rid of him, that would really suck. But yeah, I'm with you. I really liked him, and I thought he could be a promising player with the Lightning, but you know, I mean, we needed goaltending is really what we needed. And, so what is Ben going to bring to the table?
Yeah. So we brought in Ben Bishop, and, stop me if you've heard this one before. He's a young goalie who used to be a backup, and he's really tall. Sounds exactly like Anders Lindback.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting statistic from him from this season. He was playing with the Ottawa Senators, and in 8 games that he appeared in and his team won, he stopped almost 95% of the shots he faced and only allowed 1.82 goals per game.
Hmm.
In the 5 games that they lost, he only stopped 89% of the shots and allowed 3.5 goals per game. So there's a little bit of inconsistency there.
Yeah.
But then again, similar to the Lightning, you've got to consider that this is a guy coming from Ottawa who does not have a great defense in front of him.
Right.
Case in point, he was actually in the net when the Lightning scored 5 against the Senators.
Mm.
So a really good offense going up against a poor defense. The keeper's kind of left out there, you know, to dry. But as a good news, and a team that we're going to face, you know, probably pretty often, he shut out the Rangers a couple weeks ago. So there's some inconsistency there. I think that the benefit there is that now you've got 2 young guys who can kind of push each other rather than just having, you know, a guy like Garon around who is just kind of...
He's just there.
if we're talking about replacement level players in baseball, the replacement level goalie in hockey is Mathieu Garon. Because he's just kind of... He isn't special.
Right.
Lindback has the potential to be special, mm-hmm. and Bishop has the potential to be special. Garon is just kind of there. If we cut Garon today and signed whatever goalies out there, we wouldn't see much of a difference.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, so definitely much needed help in the goaltending area. And we'll
see how it turns out. I mean, he's got a nearly meaningless rest of the season to, you know, battle it out with Lindback, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, a couple other things. Just read that Brian Lee, who I didn't even honestly know existed, he went down to the AHL after being with the Lightning. And I think, was he with the Senators? He was with some other team recently.
Yeah, he had been kind of acquired. And I know that they had let go of somebody who wound up getting picked up by the Hurricanes. There's been a lot of stuff like that. They've been calling up a ton of guys. They've called up, like, Killorn. They've called up... Pouliot. They called up a ton of guys that have produced this season. So it's only natural that a few guys are going to go down.
Sure.
Lee was more of a little more of a veteran guy. I recognize his name from before, but, they definitely have been using the minors, because in a season where you're not going to win that much, you want to get the younger guys experience. So,
right. Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty much about it. BJ Crombie's got a contract extension, and he's been, all right, you know, I mean,
He loses fights, but
yeah, I mean, if you're gonna pick someone, if you're gonna have, like, okay, you're gonna be the fight guy, don't you think you should pick someone who's gonna win? I mean, he's not great at picking fights, and he's not great at winning fights. So
yeah, but his kind of role on that line is just to be a pest, and that I'm okay with that, because a lot of times they're the line that goes up against the other team's best line just to kind of push them around.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's drawn guys like, you know, Crosby and Ovechkin into fights and stuff, that's fine, because I'll put Crombie in the bin for 5 minutes if it means that another team's good player goes in for 5 minutes.
Right, yeah. So. I mean, he is kind of the fall guy, so to speak. And got a couple other guys, Adam Hall, forward and defensive man, Luke Witkowski.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just trying to make some moves around.
Yeah, I actually feel like Adam Hall was the one who was released to go to Carolina, and then he came back.
Yeah.
Like, we waived him. He went to Carolina, and then they might have, like, traded him or waived him back. I don't know.
I don't know. Either way.
Maybe he fell out with Guy, and then now that Cooper's here, he wants to come back. I don't know. Could be.
So, you know, best of luck to Cooper. I will miss Guy. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we were already discussing possibility of Gee getting fired, and I liked his coaching style, but you can't argue the fact that since he's been here, it's just gone downhill.
Yeah, he said a lot of good things, but it didn't ever turn into anything on right. the ice. And then Cooper comes out, and one of the main things against Gee was the aggressiveness of the offense. And in Cooper's first game, we outshoot the Panthers by like 15 shots or something. So, you know, I think Cooper has the message that we need to, we have all these good goal scorers. We need to put the puck on the net more often. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to our final segment of the show. We'll move right into predictions. Yeah. And so we got to rehash some old games.
Yeah. I forgot what happened. It's been so long. I don't remember.
Well, unfortunately, Leo, you are not going to like it. No. We picked all NCAA tournament games.
Yes.
So these are going to be kind of reliving the past a little bit for some of you guys that have followed the tournament.
Yeah.
So we'll start first with Oregon versus St. Louis. They had won 74-57, so not a close game at all.
Yeah, Oregon was definitely one of the surprises of the tournament.
For sure. I think it was a 12 against a 4 or something like that. Yep. So, Leo, you picked St. Louis 62-58. I picked Oregon 70-67, so I get the W for that one.
Yep.
And going into the next game, Arizona versus Harvard, we were kind of both of us were kind of hoping for another upset. Yeah. Unfortunately, Arizona won that game 74-51. Yeah,
and that one was never close. Arizona was looking a lot better than they wound up being in the game that they eventually lost. Because mm-hmm. In their first two games, they looked very good.
Right. But unfortunately, they lost. Harvard lost. And we both picked them to win. So we both get a loss in that one. And then finally, VCU versus Michigan. Michigan again dominated 78-53. Leo, you picked VCU 71-60. I picked Michigan 82-77. So I get the W, and unfortunately, that gives you 3 losses on the week.
Yes.
So I think there might be some big news coming from Hal. So let's go to Hal. Hal, can you tell us the updated totals, please?
Leo, I am sorry to say that Terry has taken the lead from you with his 31-30 record. However, you are not far behind because your win-loss record is 30-31.
Yes, that is correct. I have taken back the lead once again, only by one.
Yeah.
Still close. Leo, you know, best of luck to you on the next couple games.
Finally over 500. Battled your way up above 500.
I am, yes. I'm back over 500. But well, let's go on to this week. And again, keeping with the MLB theme, the opening week, we're going to pick MLB series. I thought this would be a little bit different. I mean, we can do individual games. But my thought, and correct me if I'm wrong here, my thought is we could pick a Saturday game, one team versus another. But it's almost kind of like a crapshoot unless it's really obvious or something. You know, you got some teams that they'll just go back and forth. So I feel like if we pick a series, 3-game, 4-game series, and we just say, okay, well, this team's going to win 2 out of 3 or they're going to sweep it or whatever, that might be a better indication and better way to predict.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I mean, if we're doing a podcast a week, it gives us a perfect chance to let a series come in between that and it takes a little bit of the luck out of it and makes it a little more about just picking the right team versus, you know, the matchups and things like that. Sure. So, yeah, no, I definitely like that idea. So,
well, we got a good mix of games, different styles and stuff. First one will be the Miami Marlins. I still can't get used to that.
Yeah.
At the New York Mets in a 3-game series. And I'll just go ahead and give mine first. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Mets will take 2 of the 3 games, leaving Miami to pick up the 1. These are kind of like not so great teams. So, I mean, I'm just kind of going with the fact that Miami just did terribly this year and probably aren't going to do any better this year. So what do you think?
I actually think I'm going to go with the opposite.
Okay.
I can't trust the Mets. I just can't. And they actually don't have a starting pitcher kind of lined up for one of the games. So there's kind of some uncertainty there. Whereas the Marlins are going to have their best pitcher going in one of the games. So I just think that the matchups are going to work out in the Marlins' favor there. So I'll go 2-1 in favor of the Marlins for the series.
Okay. Well, the next one we have is kind of a clash of the Titans this year. with the San Francisco Giants, defending champions, going up against the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Giants will be at home for all three of these games. So, Leo, who do you have winning this series?
For the same reason, kind of after looking at the pitchers that are going to go, and you know, picking another road team, unfortunately. Is it a road team? Yeah, this is a road team.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Okay.
I believe that they've got the pitching advantage in two of the three games, and then the other one is pretty even. And they've been kind of impressive on offense so far, and they may be getting one of their better players back over the weekend. He might not come back until Monday. I'm not exactly sure, but regardless, there's a couple players on the Giants that I can't trust either. And
okay.
they're playing this weekend. So I'm going to go 2-1 in favor of the Cardinals.
All right. Well, I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to just defending champs at home. They've been having huge crowds coming out to their games, obviously. So I'm going to say 2-1 in favor of the Giants, which leads us to our last game, kind of a homer pick. For probably one of us, at least. Tampa Bay Rays at the Texas Rangers, starting their road series in a three-game road series against the Rangers. I'm going to go ahead and pick against the Rays. I'm going to say 2-1 in favor of the Rangers.
Yeah, it's in Texas, but... I'm looking at the pitchers, and... You know, I think that we've got a decent set of pitchers going for those games. We're going to have Roberto Hernandez going again, and you know he's a ground ball pitcher in a place where home runs are hit. So that's a good combination. And I don't think that the Rangers are as good as they have been. So even though they're at home, I think that the Rays will squeak it out. It's probably going to be 2-1, so I'm just going to go 2-1 in favor of the Rays there. So.
Okay, well, we'll see how these match up, and you know, we'll obviously be doing more baseball now that baseball's back in season. Well, I think that does it, man. You got anything else to add? Otherwise, we'll just wrap this up.
No, I think we're good to go. Cool. Definitely watch some baseball.
Yeah. You know, you're going to find one game on at some point during the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so with the sheer number. So anyway, that will do it for us, guys. It's good to be back from our Easter break. We hope you had a good one. And thank you so much for listening to the Tampa 2 Podcast. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tampa 2 Podcast. Feel free to email us. Send us your comments and rate us on iTunes. Tell your friends. Don't hide your kids. Don't hide your wives from this podcast. And we will see you next week.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the Tampa 2 Podcast. You can get all the episodes on iTunes. Follow the Tampa 2 on Twitter and check out www.tampa2podcast.com.